Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's now time to venture through the foggy misinformation and learn about what truly is green. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor and proud owner of Mystery Dog Tater, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Telephone number to be with me. I've got a few things to do myself, but it won't be too long before we go to the phone. So jump on here at 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. If you have been looking at Facebook, you will have been able to see pictures of Logan and her new husband there. So check it out. Also, Judy and I and her, and Bo's parents are on Facebook for you there, and some photographs of the garden. I got some more photographs that I was going to add this morning and haven't gotten around to it yet because I've been dodging the weather. Those of you in the area know what I'm talking about. Wherever you are in the country, you probably are hearing we're having rain and really rough weather continued. It was a little dicey getting here to the radio station this morning. I had to drive right towards some really dark clouds and a lot of conversation about tornadoes. Luckily, all that broke up and I don't think too much of it happened, but we're still in a heavy rain event here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Whatever your weather is, it's spring and time to talk gardening, so let's chat about it. We've had some interesting things come in as far as questions that I've added to my column in the Dallas Morning News, and I'll cover some of those things. First thing I need to do, though, is tell you that this hour is brought to you by Victor Pet Foods. Victor Dog and Cat Foods. Their website is victordogfood.com. They bring us the SPCA feature of the week. It's a company over in Mount Pleasant, over in East Texas, that makes a wonderful line of products. No wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. No chemical preservatives. Very, very unusual. High quality. My dogs really love the products, and I'm sure yours will too. Give it a shot if you haven't tried it. You can get more information at victordogfood.com. I'm having some issues printing things this morning, so I'm going to kind of work around that issue. But we're still not doing all that well with dogs from the past. Bear from last week was adopted, so thank you for that. This is the Dallas SPCA. And Pharos, Ritter, and Scrappy are all three still looking for a home. So go to our website, dirtdoctor.com. There are photographs and information about those pets are there. Obviously, this is primarily for the people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Wherever you are, appreciate it if you support your rescue organizations. We still have a little sweet pea there in the McKinney. I think she's in the McKinney SPCA. She had some skin issues or something. She's being treated, so she'll be available for adoption pretty soon as well. But this week it's Sarah, beautiful three-year-old black and white lab retriever mix. She apparently, when she came to the shelter, she was a little scared and unsure. She was a little bit uneasy, but with some treats and some gentle petting, she's already responding quite a bit better. She loves to go for a walk, and she's really come around. She's a little bit afraid of noises and kids under 10, you know, that are pretty rambunctious. So this may be more for older family, but check her out. She's really, really pretty. Sarah is on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Go to the SPCA button of the week. My tea is hibiscus, bay, and peppermint. I'm doing a hibiscus tea that I was given as a gift. It's really a nice hibiscus tea, and then I'm adding other things to it. It's fine by itself, but adding various things to it, and playing around with some formulas has been kind of fun. Some of the things that I'm writing about in the Dallas Morning News that are coming in, quite a few questions. One of them is about, and I've written about it before also, these caterpillars that are around. They're the ones that I'm seeing the most are forest tent caterpillars. They show up first as large clusters on the trunks of trees, primarily red oaks. At our place, it was kind of interesting. They showed up on the cambi oak, which is a red oak, and the regular red oaks, the Texas red oaks. We didn't have very many, but as I've been around on other projects, on golf courses and various places, I've seen them out there a lot. A lot of people are. People are sending me photographs and asking questions about them. It's an interesting pest. It's not a real serious one, it is my experience. You see them when they're clustered on the trunks of the trees. If you want to kill them, they're very easy to kill at that point. You can spray orange oil. You could spray any of the essential oil products. You could spray probably the BT would kill them, even though they're not feeding at that point. Just having the BT sprayed right directly on them, I would assume it would get in them and help take them out. But they disperse after being in this congregation on the trunk and go up and feed. But they never seem to do a whole lot of damage. They seem to do a little damage here and a little damage there. And after they're treated, you see them one here and one there on the back of chairs, walking across the lawn, on the deck, on the terrace, here and there. So really, I haven't seen to be a big problem. What I am having a big problem with in our garden, and I don't know how it got started. Bob Webster and I talk about this and have a couple of times on his show down in San Antonio. We visit every Saturday morning. And he has had pill bug problems. I've had a couple of people call me about pill bug problems. I haven't seen that in my gardens, but I have had a terrific problem, not a problem so much, but just a tremendous population of snails. And they've done some damage because I didn't respond real quickly. I tried a couple of other things. I tried to see if I could spray Epsom salts or put out corn gluten meal. And it did seem to help. But, boy, with all this rain, we were moving one of the compost piles, the Shepherd compost bin, from one place to another, and there were a whole ton of them on the fence behind the compost and in the compost. So we finally broke down and did what we recommend, and that's use the Sluggo product. Sluggo is a commercial product. It's made by a big chemical company. It's one of the things we deal with all the time, that some of the big chemical companies have some really effective organic tools, organic products, and this is one that is the case. It's made by the Monterey people. And the Monterey people make some other interesting organic products and tools also. They have a fatty acid herbicide, for example, you've probably heard me talk about or seen that we've mentioned, and it's effective and good, but the Sluggo is terrific. It's an iron-based product. Some people are a little concerned, and I've kind of scratched my head about it a little bit, about the heavy metals that are in it, and, you know, including iron, but iron's why it works, and it works extremely well. There is a second Sluggo product that we recommend if you have the pill bugs and sow bugs, and it's called Sluggo Plus. So if you've been seeing the same kind of issues that I've been seeing, those are your tools. Sluggo Plus contains spinosad. You could probably put out spinosad by itself, one of the spinosad products that's out there on the market, and it's good for a lot of things. I'm also having more people tell me that they're having fire ant issues this year than before, and that's because of all the heavy rain that we've had, too. We've even had a couple of mounds dare to pop up on our properties, which is the first time in almost, well, right at 30 years, I guess. And you can knock them out with diatomaceous earth. Somebody asked about that, and I wrote about it in my column. Diatomaceous earth, when applied dry on a fire ant mound or in a electric control box, or I had some show up, for example, under the little controller of the lights, and the koi pond. It produces some heat, and they were attracted to it during the rainy period. And I turned it over, threw a little DE in there, and when it hits them, when they get in it, dry, it dehydrates them and kills them real quickly. If it's moist, if DE is moist, it's a good amendment for the soil. But doesn't do any good for the fire ant control. A couple of people asked me if they could use it in potted plants where fire ants showed up. And yeah, on the surface, it's fine. Down in the soil, won't do any control, but it's good for the soil. Provides beneficial silica, available silica. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll take a quick break and be right back, so don't go away. It's 866-444-3478. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulture expert. For great results, whether vegetables, lawns, trees, shrubs, or flowers, I recommend Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding and is safe for children and pets. So whether you're a seasoned or novice gardener, trust the fertilizer that's been proven effective for over 85 years. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Anywhere you want good things to grow. Milorganite for better results naturally.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. I wanted to tell you one quick thing before we go to the phones here. The number 866-444-3478 is the number. But our latest newsletter, which everybody can get free, all you do is sign up for it, the little form on dirtdoctor.com, or just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. But we got an email from a fellow with a nonprofit, I assume, called Renewable Farming. It's renewablefarming.com. You might want to check out their website. It's very good. I just looked at it kind of casually. I want to go back and spend some more time on it, but it looks like it's arranged very well and easy to use. But they were asking if it was okay to use our newsletter about foliar feeding and how you do it and its benefits and all that that we did in this newsletter in their publications. And we said, yes, by all means. And we encourage that. And I wanted to tell everybody out there, if you have some other kind of website or publication or newsletter or group where our stuff would help to spread the word about doing this natural organic approach, by all means, if you let us know and, you know, give our site credit, that would be nice too, but we certainly want to help spread the word. Let's go to the phones, and you want to jump on here whenever you hear anybody go away, please do at 866-444-3478. Bud in Irving, Texas is first up, which is where I am right now. Hi, Bud. Bud, you there?
Yeah, what happened? I heard a loud noise, and then I didn't hear your voice.
Well, a lot of lightning events and all kind of things going on here right now.
Yeah. How are you hitting them?
Fair. That's all I can say. Fair.
No golf this afternoon, huh?
I don't think so. Doesn't look like it, does it?
Don't look good. Anyway, I think I had this problem a couple of years ago. I grow my own seeds. So I get the seeds from Baker Creek, you know?
Yeah.
I got about 10 different kind of tomatoes. And my tomatoes are so healthy looking. And the one guy said, this is the healthiest garden he ever seen in his life. And then I noticed yesterday, the plants are about 2 feet tall, a little taller than that, and they got flowers and little tomatoes on them. And the tops of some of the plants are starting to curl, real tight leaves, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I had that problem a few years ago. You told me something about, I don't know, shortage of calcium or something, or...
Well, it can be a couple of different things, but when you have the terminal leaves, the end leaves curling like that. First of all, it can be a virus. It can be a virus which is called curly top. And in that case, we recommend spraying the Garrett juice mixture with some hydrogen peroxide added to the spray. And it works very well on that. But the other thing it can be that you need to scratch your head about and think about, if you've used any kind of manure products, there are two different herbicides that are used on pasture land for control of, you know, certain weeds that are products that don't break down, and they actually can survive through the composting operation and end up in the compost. And I'm having kind of a disturbing number of people giving me an indication that they've used a manure that's come from fields where clopyrrolid or picloram have been used. And what you'll see when that happens is that end foliage, especially on nightshades, tend to roll up and get the same kind of appearance that you get with the curly top, the virus. The other thing is that's a possibility, I guess, is that it's kind of a temporary thing from all this shade, all this cloudiness and rain and all of that kind of thing, and it's just a temporary issue that'll turn around if we ever get some sunshine going. But I bet it's one of the first two things that I mentioned to you.
It's probably the second thing, because the horse manure I've been getting for like 25 years from that stable.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's not out in the field, and it's dry manure, and it's been there forever. And like last year, I didn't have this problem. So this year now I got it, but it's not affecting all the plants yet. So you think if the sun comes out, this might be the end of that problem, huh?
Well, it's going to help, but if you think that you have a chance of getting some contaminated manure compost, that could very well be the culprit. And to correct that, the only thing you can do, bud, is to kick up the biological activity in the soil as much as you possibly can by getting, you know, one of the products that contains beneficial bacteria and beneficial mycorrhizal fungus, one of the products like Bio-SI or the MyCoreTech product. The Garrett Juice Pro has one of those products in it, and drenching and spraying the foliage on a weekly basis, real often, will help turn that problem around, because what you've got to do is you've got to help nature break down those chemicals that are in the system.
Yeah, well, this manure is so old that the stable is shut down. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna tear it down and build something there. So I know that this manure is old. So can I get Garrett juice at one of the biggest stores or where?
Yeah, the people who sell organic products might have it. You can buy it direct online, and you can make it yourself. You can make your own Garrett juice and just buy one of the microbe packages and add it to it. Adding a whole bunch of fine-textured humate would also help tie up those chemicals if they are there. And if they're not, you're going to get some benefit anyway. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to take a quick break here. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number 866-444-3478. Here's Tom in Dallas. Next up, hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Howard, how you doing?
Doing great. What's up?
Well, good morning to you. Well, quite a bit of a storm happening now.
Oh, I tell you, it's getting a little bit old, to tell you.
Yeah, well, it's an awful lot of rain. It's, I guess it's that global warming happening.
Something.
Yeah. Anyhow, look, I had a question for you primarily first and foremost about a pecan tree that we had a Rhodes, a so-called organic nursery plant for us back in 2005 in the front yard. And I wasn't here when they planted it. My mom didn't know too much about what was going on. And they planted it. I guess it must be at least a foot too deep, if not more. I've dug down about 9 inches over the years trying to find the root flare and never have found it. Now I've got this pit there in the middle of the yard. This pecan tree, Howard, is 10 years old. This thing is no more than about, I guess, 9 feet high. Okay. It never has made any pecans. I begin to despair that it ever will. And I'm just curious, is there a way to sort of raise a tree that's been planted too deep? Because digging down to the root flare is just not an option. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I'd argue with you a little bit about that because we've We've uncovered some trees that have been 4 and 5, and one case in Waco was 10 feet deep. So there's no limit on how deep you can go, really.
But, I mean, how much of a pit in the front yard can I put up with?
Well, that's a problem. You know, all of us were making the same mistake, whether we were into organics and planting trees right or not. I've had to uncover all the trees in my yard, for example, Tom. I mean, everybody used to be just kind of oblivious about this problem.
Yeah.
And when the trees come to you from the growing operation way too deep in the container, and you set the tree just a little bit too deep or even what looks like to be the right height, and you get some settling, lo and behold, all of a sudden you can end up with a tree that's deep in the ground. So I would suggest to you two things. One is go ahead and continue to go down. You can make the hole flare out more and be more saucer shaped so it doesn't look so dramatic as a hole. Or this fall, as soon as the tree has its yellow fall color on it, have a contractor come and help you with it probably, dig it and lift it and put it at the right height. You can go either way.
Okay, well, that's the lifting part is the part I wanted to ask about. How does one do that? I mean, physically, are we building a tripod and sort of just lifting it up slowly over time?
The different ways are you can dig down and get enough root ball to where, you know, two or three guys can manhandle it and lift it up.
Oh, go ahead and just pull it up in an afternoon or something?
Yeah, just lift the whole, dig down to where you basically create a new ball, a root ball down in the hole, lift it up, put soil under it if you're going to leave it in the same place.
Uh-huh.
And tamp it in this case and compact it so it won't settle again. Set it a little too high this time so it has a little bit of room to settle. The people that move really big trees, they'll do it with straps and chains and fancy kind of equipment that go under and around the ball. There's also people that move trees that don't have any problem at all drilling a hole through the trunk and putting a bolt in there and lifting it that way.
Wow.
So you can go either way you want it. With the size that you have, you can probably get some guys to help you and, you know, either a landscape company or friends or whatever, and just lift the ball and reset it at the right height. On the other hand, you can go down and have this depression. You're going to see the depression is the only negative about it, and go that route and leave it where it is.
Well, as deep as that hole is already, that would be a pretty unsightly. It would have to be quite a large, quite a large saucer.
Send me a photograph of it. Can you take a picture and send me a photograph?
Well, not really. Don't have a cell phone nor a digital camera. Used to have one, but it seems to be lost in the move.
I understand. Well, if you can get somebody to help you with that, do that and send it to me, and I'll see if I see anything else. But those are the two options. Either keep going down to you.
Well, now, drilling a bolt through the bottom of what trunk is exposed, that's a real interesting problem, because then I could build a tripod and just sort of crank it up a little bit at a time and let it just come up.
Well, you're going to have to dig down so you don't rip it. It'll have to be loose enough down in the hole. But, yeah, that is a way to do it.
Now, pecan trees put it on a taproot, don't they?
Well, they do. All trees, when they're young, have taproots. All the taproots go away at some point. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, no, I sure didn't.
Yeah, a lot of people think that the taproot stays forever. But even taprooted trees, once they develop a big flare and a big proper root structure, that taproot tends to fade away.
Is that true even for oak trees?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Oh, well, I guess your listeners would sure be glad to hear that. I was under the mistaken urban myth impression that, you know, that taproot was the biggest deal about oak trees and pecan trees.
No, it's more of a stabilizing thing in the beginning and helps to get down and get some nutrients that aren't necessarily available elsewhere, but primarily for water and structure. And
so after 10 years, you wouldn't really expect there to be much work?
No, not at all.
All righty. Well, that makes things easier.
All right.
If you have time, I have just one more question,
sure.
And that's about Nandinas. Do you know anything about them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, you know, we planted some Nandinas, I should say my mom did, and, you know, they've just turned into these invasive monsters. And I wondered if there's anything to be done about that. They're taking over just about everywhere we planted them. She thought they'd be cute little bushes that would stay put. No, no, sir.
Well, Nandina has now been classified as an invasive species. It's from Asia. It's not native here, and it has become invasive because birds eat the berries and spread them, and they're popping up all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I used to design them into projects, as I did Chinese pistachios. And they're invasive now as well.
Well, are they?
And I've got some in my front yard still.
Oh, so bless your heart.
All you can do if you want to get rid of them, I haven't gotten rid of mine. I'm pruning mine so they kind of are very low in the front and then get taller and taller in the back. And I've got all kind of other plants coming up with the Nandina. So you have the color and you have the thick foliage. And I've stopped their ability to spread, kind of like the bamboo in the back. But if you want
heavenly barrier, then like you do for bamboo,
I wouldn't go to that trouble. I just dig it out. When it pops up outside where you want it, it'll be pretty small and easy to dig up.
Yeah,
it's just
they're easy to pull up, especially if they come up by berry.
Yeah, just physical removal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to end the problem, you just take them completely out. But you do need to dig them out of the ground. They have a great big, very dense crown and root system where it's a mature plant.
I found that out on one, which she asked me to transplant from the front to the back, thinking that we would be helping ourselves by doing so. But no, in the back, it gets even more sun than it did up here, and it's spread even more.
Okay, get to work. Take them out if you don't want them.
Thank you, Howard.
Appreciate the call. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and we've got open lines again for you at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. One of the things that's been interesting this year that I'm going to have to decide on a change is that I've planted asparagus in four or five different places. And one in the vegetable garden, in the experimental vegetable garden, and then two other plantings in landscape, and they have become gigantic. I've never seen I think that the asparagus is responding to the organic program and the Garrett juice drenching and, really kind of heavy applications of organic products in the dormant season. And the biggest canes, the biggest spears I've ever seen this year, and the current foliage, the stems that have gone all the way to being the ferny-looking tops are over 6 feet tall now. And I'm about to do what I did last year experimentally, and that is cut everything all the way to the ground and let it go again to get a whole new round of shoots. I'm going to do that in some cases, and in other cases, I'm going to cut the edge off. I'm going to go in a foot to 15 inches and cut the stems that have grown up into a foliage now all the way to the ground, and then leave the ones right in the center up. So we still have some of the spears that have turned to the foliage, gathering sunlight and doing their photosynthesis, building food for the underground part. And then at least one of them, maybe the big one in the vegetable garden, I'm going to cut the whole thing down and do it, get the spears all once again, let it grow back into the ferny top one more time, and then maybe in a month, cut it all the way to the ground again. That's what I did last year. And I did it on purpose just to see if it would do any damage to the crowns, the underground part for the production the next growing season. And if anything, I'm seeing it more productive and more powerful than it's ever been. Now, how often you can do that, I don't have any idea. It's going to be something we're going to have to experiment with and play with a little bit. But for sure, if you left one end of an asparagus bed up and took half of it or two-thirds of it down and left, part of it there, that might be a way to go. But on the other hand, I'm going to keep doing it, experimenting with taking it all the way down and letting it totally regrow for the next couple of years and see if we continue to have the wonderful production we've had this year, or if it will cause some issues. Let's talk to Tony in Maryland someplace next. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. I have a question in reference to Leland cypress trees.
Okay.
I have a pretty big backyard, and I've got like 50 of the trees kind of border the property. And this last couple of years, we've had some pretty harsh winters and summers here. This year, I mean, I really noticed that they've gotten very thin and they're starting to turn brown in about maybe about 15 or 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I can do to try and get them back?
Turn them around. We have the same issue, Tony, with Leyland cypress here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They are introductions. They're not native here. I think they're a little bit sensitive. If the soil is not perfectly balanced and they don't like water, they don't like wet feet at all. So if you keep the bed a little bit too wet, they really start getting some diseases. What I'd recommend to you is to look at our website and look at the detailed information on what's called the sick tree treatment. And that is what I'd recommend that you do. And the first step of the sick tree treatment is to pull the soil off the base of the trees. Even though they're smaller trees, any kind of woody plant, if it's too deep in the ground, it leads to some problems. I'm going to put you on hold, and we can still talk when I come back after this break if you want to talk about it further. It's a big point, but right after this break.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. truth. Vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth. Animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth. Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth. Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Tom, who called about the Leyland cypress, didn't hold, but wanted to talk about the sick tree treatment just a little bit more. Any kind of woody plant, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a vine or a big bush or a tree, ornamental tree or big tree, well, a rose bush even, can benefit from what we call the sick tree treatment because they all have flares. Any woody plant has a flare, and the number one step of the sick tree treatment is to expose the flare really well, because 99% of them get, or more, get planted a little too deep or a lot too deep in the ground. So getting that flare is the first step of bringing a plant out of stress that it tends to be in, that leads to other problems, to insects and diseases and chlorosis and various things, you know, lack of availability of nutrients and all that. So that's step one. The rest of the sick tree treatment, which is explained, as I mentioned to him, on our website. You click on, you go to the website homepage, click on the word guides. That's the button that goes to the formulas. And the formula for the sick tree treatment is explained there. It's to expose the flare, number one, then aerate the root system, either mechanically, you know, poking holes in the ground using aeration equipment, or doing the liquid version of aeration with hydrogen peroxide, which is also explained on our website. And then you apply, while the holes are open or after the liquid treatment, you apply all of the same amendments that we recommend for bed preparation. Compost, rock powders, and sugars, they're explained all in detail on the site and in my books, for that matter. Or we can talk about it more in detail on the show if anybody wants to do that. And then the last step is to spray the tree or the plant, the bush or whatever, with Garrett juice. homemade mixture or commercial version, either one, whichever way you want to go. And when you spray a plant, you don't just spray the foliage. You spray the stems and the trunk and the flare and the ground and everything. Nutrients are available to a plant through the bark, especially the thin bark. So it's not just a foliar spray, and you want to drench it into the soil as well. And there's nothing that'll help turn a plant around that's having problems more than the sick tree treatment will. If you skip the step of exposing the flare, though, it won't work very well. That's the most important step there is. Irene in Philadelphia is next up. Hi, Irene.
Hello, Howard. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
There. I just bought it, well, not just, but the last few months I bought a house and it found out it had bamboo on it, the running one. And the people that I hired to take down trees, they didn't tell me they cut it in the fall. Mm-hmm. And it seems to have been invigorated by that. And I was wondering, is there any help for me?
On totally getting rid of the bamboo?
Totally, if I can, yes.
Yes, I have a forest of it. I have as much experience with it as anybody. And I like mine. I want mine to stay because it's a privacy situation. But controlling it from coming in and taking over the rest of my garden, and it goes for my neighbors as well, is something that we've learned to do. Taking it to the next step is how you totally get rid of the bamboo. And what you do is when the shoots come up, the first thing that you would do in your situation is cut it all down or have somebody do it for you.
Have that done.
To with a chainsaw to the ground. Then as the shoots reemerge, which they will do.
They sure do.
You cut them off as soon as they come out of the ground. And the shoots in the spring are going to be growing fast, you know, a couple of feet a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cut them off, you kick them off. I cut them off with a machete or use a little hand mattox type of a thing, walk around. And I need to do it right now. I've gone a couple of days now with, you know, rainy weather, and I've got some popping up. But you do that during the spring if you're maintaining it from moving to a new direction. If you're trying to get rid of it, what you do is you cut those shoots off, scratch around in the ground, get down to the rhizomes, the underground stems, which aren't going to be very deep in the ground, and you take a sharpshooter spade or an axe or a hatchet or a mattox or whatever you want to use, and you chop those into segments maybe 12 inches long, maybe 18 inches long, all throughout the area where the bamboo's growing. And if you do that, if you sever those rhizomes that are growing right next to the soil, it will die out.
Okay.
You don't have to use herbicides. You don't have to dig the whole system out of the ground like a lot of people tell you. You just simply have to sever. And a clue is wherever you see a sprout coming up, wherever you see a shoot coming up, scratch around that shoot, and the rhizomes that are around that shoot producing that growth, that's the ones that are the most important to sever. Bamboo has this strange quality, and that is when those rhizomes are severed, it can't survive. It's why it's very difficult to dig it and transplant it unless you take the stems, the green part of the top along. You can't just dig the underground part up and move it to a new place. It'll die out every time. But that's the way you do it.
Okay, I was told that it could be ground down too. Would that do anything, grinding it out?
Grind it like with a stump grinder?
I guess it is.
Yeah, that would do the same thing. That would destroy the rhizome system, and that would kill it out too.
Okay, now I have two properties that are bordering me that have some growing.
Irene, let me talk to you off the air. I'm going to have to run for a second if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'm enjoying being with you this hour, and we got another one coming up. Give me a call at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com.